League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So, what are we starting with this week?
A Wii review.
You're dead on.
Hey. Oh, there you go. Look at that.
Actually, it's two Wii reviews because we've got so many good reviews.
Oh, wow.
So generous to us.
Yeah, I have to be double just to get them all out. So, this one says, caught up, now what?
Oh, no. A dilemma. Now,
there are bonus episodes on our Patreon.
That's where you go.
So it's 5 stars, said, have been an avid listener since day one, but fell off listening during COVID as I no longer had my commute time to listen in. But in the last month, I've binge listened to the last 50 or so episodes and am now caught up and don't know what to do with myself. Brilliant podcast, so funny and interesting.
Well, that's like an average of like 2 episodes a day.
That's so many.
It's in a month, kind
that's
of.
A lot.
Yeah, wow.
And we've got so many episodes, by the way. I keep on forgetting. We're on like 114 now, 112, 113.
113 is this one.
Amazing.
There we go.
Incredible. When are we going to stop?
114.
Great. Well, thank you very much for that review. We've also got another one that says wonderful, which is 5 stars. It's a lovely in-between from serious science talk to 3 or 4 weird weirdos talking about silly stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Not leaning one way, and that makes it so interesting and fun to listen to. It's not boring, but not childish. Love it.
Oh, it's definitely childish.
I wouldn't say. I think we have a jovial spirit. I don't know if childish is the word. I think we're very adult, actually.
Well, juvenile nature.
I mean, there is that episode we made about testicles. I think that was pretty
bad.
That
was bonus.
That's a bonus episode.
We're allowed to be childish.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if you want childish humor, you can go to the bonus episode.
Yeah.
Shall we start the show?
Yes.
Let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jeb and Luke Cutfer.
Hello!
Hello there.
This week, we're talking about yellow fever and black vomit.
Oh.
Is black vomit caused by yellow fever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, there's the link.
Yeah, they're related.
We've solved it.
No, that's...
Well, you solved it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sci Guys. You can find the full references in the description. Subscribe.
All
for
the references for that
reason.
that wasn't a mystery. It was just...
Oh.
Well, nonetheless, we did solve it. Well done, us.
Yeah. You asked a question and I answered it. Before we get into the show proper, I would like to ask a question of all of our audience. And get down in the comments, and if you're listening to us, go to YouTube and get in the comments. What is the worst thing that you've ever eaten? What is the worst thing you guys have eaten?
Ass.
Okay, so moving on. Do you guys know what yellow fever is?
No, not really.
No?
Some kind of infection. Does it make you go yellow?
It can make you go yellow, yes. Do you know why it might make you go yellow?
Jaundice.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So yellow fever, it's an infection. Do you know how it's spread?
Coughs.
No. Mm-hmm.
Sneezes.
No.
Spread diseases.
Not this one.
Blood.
Kind of. Yeah.
Ooh. Vomit.
No.
Black vomit.
No.
Sex.
Wee.
But no. Wait, why is blood involved in your sex?
What? I didn't say it was. Dear. Those are two separate possibilities.
And you should not have blood in your wee either,
spit.
By the way. No blood in your spit. It's blood related. It's,
oh,
what kind of it's to do with an animal as well?
Bovine,
an animal that
leeches, ticks,
birds.
Closer with tick,
mosquito.
Yeah,
first guess, Jam. You're good at this.
Why did I say leeches before mosquito?
I just want to picture the world wherein leeches are a serious disease,
they
like
are.
Spreading mechanism.
I was leeches. Terrified of leeches as a kid.
Well, yeah, as long as you don't go wading into any river, I think you're going to be fine.
I was always doing that. I was terrified of leeches.
I was terrified of quicksand. This is the thing. Leeches are one of those things that I thought I was going to have to deal with a lot as an adult, like quicksand, you know, which I know how to deal with quicksand.
Yeah,
you throw someone a rope and make sure that it's not a snake. Because often you can mistake snakes for ropes or vines
there.
In the jungle.
That's smart. I always told you should lie on your back and lift your legs up slowly.
That's silly.
That seems like, you just just, you know, you're just kicking the can down the road.
You throw someone a vine and they pull you out.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless it's a snake.
That seems
in which
more
case,
sensible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, yellow fever is spread by mosquitoes, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, I'm going to tell you this now. I could have left this as a mystery, but I think it's funnier to tell you now that it is spread by mosquitoes because it makes this entire story that we're going through today so much worse. You can only get yellow fever, not in the UK. You can only get it in Africa, South America, Central America, and Trinidad and the Caribbean. So
not Tobago, then?
It doesn't say Tobago.
Oh.
I mean, maybe Tobago. I don't know. I've never been, so I wouldn't
know. Let's try it. Experiment.
You've never been to Africa either, Corey, have you?
I've been close to Africa, but I've not actually been in Africa. I've been in the Canary Islands, which are closer to Africa, but
so
they're owned by Spain.
How do you know you get yellow fever in Africa?
It says so on my thing.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it says so right there. It says Africa. Well, it says parts of Africa, actually.
Okay.
That yeah. iPad has all knowledge of the universe in it.
I mean, technically, yeah. The police are coming to get the iPad.
Oh, no.
He's got all the knowledge. Get in!
That would technically mean every illegal thing is on that.
Oh, God, no! So, yeah, you can't get yellow fever from close contact with someone that has it, unless, of course, that person is a mosquito, in which case, yes, you probably could get it from them.
Yeah.
And usually, they bite during the day. They mostly bite during the day. So those mosquitoes are less bitey at nighty.
Very nice.
And obviously we know that mosquitoes can spread illnesses, lots of different illnesses. Do you know any other illnesses that mosquitoes can
spread?
They're
so bad for that, aren't they?
Yeah, naughty little mosquitoes.
Naughty little things.
I only know malaria.
Yeah. Malaria, dengue fever as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so have you guys ever been to anywhere where you needed to get yellow fever vaccination?
No. I don't think so.
No?
I've been to Thailand, but you didn't say that was on the list.
I didn't.
No. I had a lot of jabs for Thailand, is what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
I'm from Thailand.
Thailand, famously in Africa, or parts of Central America, or, yeah. Yeah, what did you get for Thailand?
I actually forgot to get some of my Thailand jabs before I went, and I ended up getting very, very ill.
Get your vaccine.
I've been there. It's not a good time.
Except for Thailand. I assume Thailand was a good time.
Thailand was a very good time, yeah.
Fantastic.
But not the bit where I was being sick and leaking from my butt for 2 days.
So the advice is to try and avoid mosquitoes when you're traveling to places where you can get yellow fever, using mosquito nets, covering your arms, using insect repellent, all of that stuff. The symptoms of yellow fever are obviously turning yellow is one of them, but I'll get
and a fever.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's actually the first one here. It says a high temperature, which is a fever, headaches, feeling sick or vomiting, muscle pains and backache, your eyes being sensitive to light. Oh my God, the Simpsons have yellow fever.
They do.
Their eyes, their little pupils are tiny because it's so sensitive to light.
And they're yellow. Yeah.
I assume they're probably got high temperatures. I don't really know. That's it. They need to go
to the doctor.
Dr. Hibbert.
Dr. Hibbert, who is decidedly not yellow. He doesn't have yellow fever.
Wow. Yeah.
Amazing, right?
Look at him.
So
he's got his vaccines.
Smart man.
You can also lose your appetite or feel just sort of nauseous. And a quarter of people get the more serious symptoms, one of which is jaundice, which is turning yellow, which is usually due to liver issues. Bleeding from the mouth, nose, eyes, or ears, or vomiting blood, or having blood in your feces.
Mm.
Lots of blood coming, basically blood coming from places
where
it shouldn't
out.
Be.
Yeah.
Blood should stay on the inside, mostly.
As a rule. General rule.
Yeah, I mean, look, sometimes it can come out, but should
more
mostly
of a guideline,
stay on the...
really.
I mean, I think it's a pretty strong rule, to be honest, actually. And do you guys know any treatment for yellow fever?
No. Waiting.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a good one.
Kill all mosquitoes.
Yeah.
No, you just have to release a bunch of mosquitoes that are sterile, and so to have sex with all the mosquitoes that are not sterile, and then they all just die.
I thought it was no. So you.
Oh no!
Not,
they
no,
they give birth to baby mosquitoes that then the cells can't breed.
Yeah. So you release mosquitoes that have been genetically modified to have infertile offspring, so that it will just cut the population way down because the offspring that they have just won't be able to have kids.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a fly swatter. It's much more effective.
Why have they developed a yellow fever vaccine? Why have they worked on mosquitoes? Just send Jam back there with a fly swatter. One down, 35 billion to go.
Take that medicine.
I think they could read faster than you could kill them, to be perfectly honest.
No, I'm really quick.
I've got a fly swatter is such an anti-vax argument. I don't need vaccine.
Come on, COVID. I've got a fly swatter.
Can't get through these little
I'll just put a mask on the end of the fly.
Look how dangerous they are. Look what this mask does to this fly. To be fair, that is stronger than most of the anti-vax arguments I've heard over the past few weeks.
Well, thank you. They'll bring me in as a member.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no cure for yellow fever, but it's one of those things where you basically manage the symptoms and let your body fight off the infection. So most people usually can recover in 3 to 4 days. Okay, right. I say most people can usually recover. That is true, but half the people that get the more serious symptoms will probably die.
Oh,
so that's about, okay. That's about an eighth of people.
Who get them or die?
An eighth of people who get it will probably die.
Whoa, that's a high mortality rate.
Yeah, well, if a quarter of people that get it get serious symptoms and a half of those die, then an eighth of, yeah.
All right. Should we avoid this? Is what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I mean, yeah. And, you know, you can take painkillers, paracetamol, ibuprofen, all of those to stop the pain and the temperature. And drink lots of water and go to a hospital, essentially, and they'll try and sort you out.
But they don't, there's no cure for it. You just have to wait and they'll just fix your symptoms and keep you hydrated and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, going to a hospital is good because if you've got issues with your liver, they can help you with that. They can put you on a stronger medication and they can basically just hook you up to put you on a drip so that if you're losing fluids rapidly, they're just pumping them back into you.
Yeah.
Basically. Oh. He's just a fluids like cycling machine, basically.
That's all you are, really.
Thanks, Luke. That makes me feel great. Great about my place in the universe.
Facts don't care about your feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jam.
So the yellow fever vaccine has been around for about 80 years. You can get one dose.
Wow.
And it gives you protection for your whole life, usually. Basically, it's what we've spoke about this before. It's one of those vaccines where you've got a sort of live version of the sort of...
attenuated.
Yeah. It's live, but it's weakened, right? Mm. You can get a certificate. You can get a little passport, one could say, ooh, to say that you've had the vaccine.
Is it yellow?
I don't know. I actually don't know. I really hope it is.
That'd be so funny.
It's a real missed opportunity if it's not. You can basically get a certificate to prove that you've got it. I think they just changed it recently so that apparently it would only last a few years, but now if you've got one, you've got one forever. So people that are going nuts about COVID vaccines and vaccine passports for that, shut up. We've had it for a long time. We've had it. You're not allowed to go to a certain country if you don't have the vaccine. So why are you mad? It's the same thing has been happening forever.
Because now it affects them.
It's affected them already. They just didn't know it. Like, it's not my fault they're being ignorant of how the world works. So if you've got the MMR vaccine recently, you should probably not get that. You should wait a bit. But other than that, it's pretty safe. You've got to pay for it. It's not free. So you've got to pay 60 to 85 quid on the NHS to the NHS to get it. And you probably don't need a booster, like I said. So 60 to 85 quid and you can go wherever you like in the world with yellow fever.
With yellow fever.
You can eat as many mosquitoes as you want.
You can take it to as many countries as you like. Hey, has your yellow fever got a passport? Yeah.
Well, actually, no, seriously though, you can you should technically be able to travel with yellow fever so long as you're going to somewhere that doesn't have mosquitoes, because it can basically only be transmitted through mosquitoes.
If you have yellow fever,
yes.
So let me clarify, check with you. So if I had yellow fever and I literally opened up one of my veins and you opened up one of your veins and we rubbed them together, you wouldn't get yellow fever.
I would probably get a lot worse than that, but yeah.
Excuse me, what do you think I'm carrying?
I mean, look, I don't want to know, man. You probably would get yellow fever, but...
Oh, okay, so it is transmissible, just not very easily.
Right, but
sure.
I'm not opening up my veins very often.
No.
Look, see, this is why I don't want to share my blood with you. Because I feel like you're doing this stuff on the regular.
I wondered why.
Right?
There goes that video. Sorry.
No, yeah, I just wonder. So what I mean is, I mean, are there any, I took what you were saying to mean it is literally not possible for somebody with yellow fever to be infectious.
When we say it's not transmissible, it's sort of shorthand for it's not transmissible through. So like an STI. So if you could say, this STI isn't sort of infectious. You can't get it through sort of kissing someone sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But if you had sex with them, then yeah, you would get it. HIV, for example.
Yeah.
You can't get HIV from close contact with someone that's got HIV. You can't get it from sharing a glass with them. You can get it from sharing bodily fluids like the ones in sex or blood.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. Right. So then my second question then, which I think you've answered, is if you have yellow fever mm-hmm. and you go to a place with mosquitoes mm-hmm. and a mosquito drinks your blood mm-hmm. and then drinks the blood of somebody else and mm-hmm. that mosquito didn't originally carry yellow fever, it now does carry yellow fever and gives it to the second person.
I think that's how the mechanism works. Yeah.
Right.
So I've not looked too deep into this. This is mostly just sort of like background knowledge. So you understand how yellow fever works, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Look, I could go into how they developed the vaccine. It is an interesting story. I might actually just leave it for another SciGuys episode. So we'll maybe listen to that in the future. What I do want to tell you about is someone called Stubbins Firth.
Cool name.
Mm. Yeah, two Fs in Firth.
Stubbins Firth.
Firth. Yes. I thought it was a mistake. Genuinely. Oh. But I have it. I think I've got his signature here. Now, the reason that I told you before we came in to record this off air that this is a very exciting episode, it's because I've got a first-hand source.
Ooh,
a primary source. I have...
Is it Stubbins?
It's from Stubbins. No, it's not. Stubbins isn't here. He's long dead.
And he's in the room.
Here's a Stubbins I prepared earlier.
He's long dead. Long dead. I have his sort of papers specifically from sort of experiments he did. So I'll let you know a little bit about Stubbins Firth. There's not much we know about Stubbins Firth. He was a med student when he did the thing that we're going to be talking about today. He was born in 1784, died in 1820. I'm pretty sure he was born in Salem, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And he was working on yellow fever. So he was doing studies on sort of yellow fever basically to get, I think, his medical license or to pass his doctor exams. It was mm-hmm. the 18th century. I don't really know how they did it. No, it was the 19th century, wasn't it? Yeah, it was for his graduation in 1804 that he was doing all of this. So he did his medical training at the University of Pennsylvania, and this is his inaugural dissertation on a malignant fever with an attempt to prove its non-contagious nature from reason, observation, and experiment. Literally the title there. So I don't know if you guys can see this. I actually have...
Oh, we can stick up full, on the screen.
Full screenshots of...
Oh my goodness.
Of his actual thing. So this is
from the... stains and everything.
Yeah, so this is from the Wellcome Collection, which I think you can visit the Wellcome Collection in London still. But they've got the full thing online. You can get the link to that in the description. I would genuinely recommend reading it because it's a fun read. It's really... it is a fun read. Essentially, what I'm going to be doing is telling you the story and reading out some excerpts as we go. So, Stubbins... Stubbins, ridiculous name. I'm sorry, I'm going to be laughing at that. Stubbins wanted to basically prove, as you can probably tell from the title, that yellow fever was not contagious. And he describes what he means by contagious. It's essentially what I said to you earlier. Basically, it can't be transmitted through sort of close contact mm-hmm. or through any of the sort of, or through those other sort of bodily fluids. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you were to mix blood with blood, that's a no-go.
That might work.
But generally, I would advise against mixing your blood with someone else's.
Yeah, but anyway, just on the fly. I guess what I mean about that is like that can happen, for example, if you're a paramedic and you have a cut and somebody's bleeding on you.
So absolutely, So don't let someone with yellow fever bleed on you.
I'll try.
Try
my
trust.
Best.
Don't let people bleed on you.
In my usually nighttime job as a paramedic, I'll make sure not to let that happen.
You mean other than your nighttime job of Sci-Guys?
That's my evening job.
Ah, Sci-Guy by evening. Paramedic by night.
Something else by day. Who knows what I am? Not me.
Live clip editor by day.
Again, as I said, a lot of this is going to be me reading out. So please, if you guys ever want to do a little excerpt, let me know, because it is a lot of fun. Dear sir, whether I behold you in light of a medical luminary or of my friend and patron, I think you entitled to this.
He had patrons.
Sure. Wow. It existed back then?
Imagine. Who were his executive producers? Ashley Moller, were you executive producer to him?
How far does Patreon go back? And then the Lord said unto him, subscribe to my Patreon.
Moses launched Patreon originally.
That's what the Bush said. When
they subscribe to my Patreon. Payment processing site for creatives.
One sentence. Not even one sentence.
The 11th commandment was scrubbed off because it was, thou shalt give to Patreon.
thou shalt become a water bear.
So essentially, this is essentially his dissertation for graduating as a doctor. So yeah, he wrote to Dr. Casper Wister. That's what he wrote to his sort of basically the guy that trained him. And then he wrote to the inhabitants of Philadelphia.
Ooh.
And then
individually?
It says
everyone.
It says, to the inhabitants of Philadelphia, fellow citizens, you, in all caps, who have felt, who have seen, who have trembled at the dire progress of malignant epidemic, spreading its baneful influence, its rapid progress. This is the thing about old-timey stuff. For some reason, it's all got to be Shakespeare. Yeah. This is just, bear in mind, this is a dissertation, essentially, to become a doctor. But he's writing it he's writing letters to everyone.
Like he's in Lord of the Rings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Basically, he thanks his supervisor, he thanks the people of Philadelphia, and then he gives a history of what's it called? Yellow fever. And yeah, at this time, there was a sort of outbreak in Philadelphia, in America, and it was not good. They didn't have very much to deal with it back then.
Oh, no.
They had like elixirs and whatnot, but
apologies, but no way, that's
not
the one.
Oh no, I've got yellow fever, but at least now I look like a pretty lady or a cat person. Or
I just turned myself to me, but not yellow. All gone.
What, by taking your own?
Yeah.
So he then goes on to the method of cure. And I do, again, I'm sorry for reading so much of this out, but I think it's really interesting looking at almost a century old, century? So the 1800s? Yeah, two centuries old sort of medical documents. So this is from the section entitled Method of Cure. Malignant fever, like most others, is a disease of increased excitement, varying in...
Me on my birthday. Ooh, I've got yellow fever.
So excited.
Varying in different persons according to the remote predisposing and exciting causes. I don't know what that means. For the proximate cause, I hold to be the same in all, and to consist in morbid excitement, irregular and wrong action in the sanguiferous system. Basically, I don't know what I think. Sanguine is blood. I think he's basically talking about the blood being all janky.
Mm-hmm. It's the medical term.
Yeah.
Blood is janky.
Look, I mean, yeah, this whole document is like, if I was going to actually put this into my own words, I would have had to spend quite some time researching what the hell he was talking about. Well, the only reason that I have some idea of what he's talking about is basically I looked up how yellow fever works and then I went back and tried to match up the pieces.
I see now.
Yeah.
So that seems making sense. Was he actually quite good at this then?
Well, I mean, he wasn't. His name is not known to history.
Okay.
Right. Look, very soon we're gonna get to a point where you realize why we know anything about him at all. It's not nice.
Oh no.
Oh dear.
Yeah. So. Basically, he goes on to talk about sort of blood and all the sort of treatments that they use for yellow fever at the time, and then is the section experiments.
Oh no! Yeah. That's why he's known.
Yeah.
So
2 ounces of black vomit being filtered, there remained on the filter two drams and 7 grains of a dark colored substance, very much resembling Theriaca andromache, both in color and consistence, having slightly the odor of sulfurated hydrogen gas. Basically, he filtered it, and there was some stuff left that smelled like farts.
Oh, okay.
Demons. And, Jesus Christ. Upon the application of heat, it became dry, very friable, and lost some of its somewhat of its original color.
Very friable.
Hmm. Basically, he basically fried it. He boiled it down. This is what I've read from outside sources. Apparently, he boiled down the vomit to see what would happen to it by applying heat to it.
Deep fried vomit.
Yeah, and it was this awful black vomit. So by evaporating black vomit in a moderate heat, a flaky substance was obtained of a brown color, rather brittle and shining. And then he basically put it in a sort of moist atmosphere. It became like the stuff that he'd filtered out. I don't really know what this guy was doing or what he was. Like, I don't know what his goals were when he was boiling the vomit. Like,
just see what I can do.
Maybe this is. I'm going to be honest. Maybe this is showing my lack of knowledge of how doctors work. But I did not think that boiling vomit was something that they. I don't really know what the goal is here.
Questionable methods.
So he then sort of started adding acids and whatnot, nitric acid, all this sort of stuff to the vomit. So he was working a lot with this vomit, which, again, he had to have gotten, by the way, from yellow fever patients. And as we know, yellow fever patients are, like, they're bleeding out of everywhere, right? If it gets real bad. So I think some of that black in the vomit was blood.
It's probably blood.
Yeah. Because you bleed internally?
Yeah, it congeals.
It comes out looking black and tarry.
Yeah.
Right? So I think a lot of that was...
Sometimes when you get like a nosebleed and it all comes out.
Oh, God.
It's like really dark and yuck.
Yeah. Yeah, very yuck. Yeah. So he was in acids and he was either like sulfuric acid, nitric acid. He was basically sitting here describing like adding this flaky stuff that he got from frying it to different acids and what came out, like brown substances. And then he added some water and then he like added more acid. Like,
was there a method or was he just doing things to it?
Look, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I have read many, many scientific papers in my time. This is just some guy doing stuff, it seems. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there was a method to it, but I feel like I am not used to this kind of format. I mean, he's describing exactly what he's doing. It's just, I don't know why. Also, they had different names for stuff back then as well, some things. So it was very confusing. And then we've got to a section after experiments. It gets a little bit boring. So we skip ahead. Analysis of the black vomit.
It was black.
Yeah, well, this, from Stubbins himself, this I deemed an important point and almost a desideratum in the history of the effects of so dreadful a disease as the malignant fever. It is true that some attempts towards an analysis thereof were made by Dr. Catherall, who deserves a great credit for his ingenious memoir on this subject. But still much remains to be done. More discoveries are reserved to add laurels to the brow of some son of... I'm not going to try that. Aesculapius in the Western Hemisphere. Basically, someone has done some work on this before, and he's not done everything, so I'm going to try and look at this black vomit that comes out when people get ill. So he then basically starts trying to decide... He starts trying to find out if this black vomit is contagious. So what he was doing beforehand was he was trying to figure out what was the vomit was made of, right? Basically by seeing how it reacted. That I'm fairly sure that's what was going on there. And now he's moved.
I feel like I know where this is going.
No, you don't.
Okay.
No, you don't. Okay. And now he's moved on to sort of trying to figure out if it's contagious. So what he does is he essentially he takes some of the vomit. And he wants to ask some questions about it. He said, what makes it contagious? What is an infection? What is a contagious disease? What is an infectious disease? What is an epidemic? And what is an endemic? Right? These are all the questions that he's asking. He wants to try and answer
these. Did the vomit reply?
No. Okay. No, it was mostly just vomit.
He didn't heat it enough. Oh, you got to fry it more if you want to chat to it.
Sentience comes in at, what is it, like 200 degrees?
Yeah, yeah, that's the one.
So he wants to answer all these questions and sort of and use the vomit to and basically answer all these questions to sort of determine what an infectious disease is and whether the vomit sort of is the infectious agent. So he goes on to describe all of that. And then he takes a dog, a small sized dog.
Oh, no.
This is experiment one. Don't worry. It's okay. So he takes a small sized dog. He puts it in a room. And he feeds the dog bread soaked with black vomit.
This is where I thought it was going.
And look, this is, I want to read this out as he's written it, because again, I love the way he writes.
Oh, please.
A small-sized dog was confined in a room and fed upon bread soaked in the black vomit. At the expiration of 3 days, he became so fond of it that he would... that he would eat the ejected matter without bread. It was therefore discontinued, and he was fed exclusively thereon for a week.
Oh man, this vomit is so fucking good.
So Moorish.
He took a small dog and just chucked it in a room and was just like, here, have this vomit bread. And then for some reason, I guess they didn't know at this time that dogs really like the taste of vomit.
Do they?
Have you not seen a dog eat vomit?
I've seen a dog eat vomit. I wouldn't necessarily then move on to say that dogs really like the taste of vomit.
I would assume because I've seen dogs like on purpose vomit and then eat it straight away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, but I always thought that was like when rabbits eat their own poo to kind of cover their tracks.
But dogs will eat other people's vomit too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, dogs will eat it. Yeah. If you put it, look, yeah. if it falls on the ground, it belongs to the hound, and the dog will absolutely eat anything. I'm just surprised that this guy did not realize that you could give a dog pretty much anything and they'll eat it.
And eat it, yeah.
Yeah.
So weird.
I mean, the trick is actually getting dogs to not eat stuff. That is the hard part, right? So this dog, I don't know what's wrong with this dog. It was being fed only vomit for a week. And then after the first day, he had black discharges per annum.
A year?
Once a year.
Oh, out of his bum.
Anum, I should say.
per annum.
He had one black discharge a year, and he lived happily ever after.
Yeah, one less end.
He got an interest rate.
Yeah, he had black stuff coming out at one end. Yeah, and that continued for 2 days. Even after he was being fed stuff other than vomit. See, I feel like it seems like this was less of a situation of the black vomit was infecting him and more, why are you feeding a dog only vomit for a week?
Just black vomit, and then you were surprised that it came out the other end.
Yeah, like you're surprised that feeding a dog only black vomit for a week will result in the dog not processing the food correctly.
Weirdly, the body was like, probably shouldn't digest this.
Yeah. So he then goes on to say they basically started feeding the dog normally after that, and he was fine. After 2 days, he stopped like leaving black excrement, and no other effect was produced upon the animal. He enjoyed as good health after the experiment as before. So experiment two.
But with some trauma.
yes, which is why they moved on from dogs to cats.
A black vomit addiction. That's what
a small-sized cat was confined in a room.
Stop.
And kept without food. At the end of 3 days, I gave her 3 ounces of the black vomit, which she ate with avidity. The same quantity was given to her daily for 5 days without evincing any signs of disease. The discharges were of dark color.
No way.
Yeah, basically you feed animals black vomit for a week and
they shit black vomit. Yeah. I could have worked that out.
That's not a surprise.
Come on, Stubbins.
And step three is where he really ups the ante. He makes a large incision into the back of a dog, dissected the skin off from the cellular membrane and muscles. Basically, and it says here, thereby forming a cavity. So he cuts into a dog and basically he cuts a little hole in the dog's back, right?
Yeah.
And then he pours 1 dram of fresh black vomit obtained, and in brackets,
fresh black vomit.
It's like a Jimmy. It's like a what's his name? The chef, Jamie Oliver.
15-minute meals.
It's fresh though, isn't it?
Okay. My black vomit was obtained from a patient in the city hospital who was in the last agonies which precede dissolution. But you can get store bought. That's fine. Okay. You know. No, seriously. It's in brackets here. He basically says he poured 1 dram of fresh black vomit. Then in brackets, I got mine from a guy who just died.
Ah, cool.
That's what who was in the last agonies which precede dissolution means.
Like just before he died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He took some vomit from a dying man.
Hey, dying man. I'm going to take your vomit. I'm going to put this in a dog. Thank you. Safe travels.
Let me just sign this contract.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
I just put a pen in his cold dead hand and just like scribble it across the... Yeah, and so then he sewed the skin back together.
Hang on. He's putting this just under the skin of a dog, not even like into the stomach.
He's already put it into a stomach.
He's just opening it up, a random part of dog back.
Yeah.
Like if I just made an incision in your back.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Put some vomit in.
Yes.
And then sewed it back up.
Yes.
Okay. So he's trying to bypass the stomach, but get it into the dog's body.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Fair enough.
Very smart. You could make a fantastic 1804 doctor, Luke. Yeah, so they put the dog in a room and stopped him from messing with his back. And
got a big cone on his neck.
It says here, the incision was healed by the first intention. The black vomit was absorbed, and he continued perfectly healthy. So he moved on to experiment four. In this one, again, upping the ante slightly more, he cut the jugular of a dog and injected an ounce of black vomit into it.
Can we just clarify for a second?
Yeah.
These are experiments to check whether this yellow fever is contagious.
Yes.
And in order to do that, he's done things like opening up your back and sewing some vomit in under your skin.
Just to check.
Just to check. If you do that, do you get yellow fever?
Yeah.
He's not done like getting yellow fever patients to sneeze on each other.
Hold on.
In the advent that you
sliced but they already know that they already would have known that it wasn't transmitted through that sort of sneezing and whatnot. It's whether the vomit was transmitting it. And also, look, may I remind you that like not even half an hour ago, you said, but if I cut open my arm and put it on yours, will you also get yellow fever?
This is true.
Hey, do not compare that, which is like, you know, people do that, a blood brother thing, don't they? They do that. They rub their... Yeah, people do that as... Like, I didn't do this, but kids, you've seen the play Blood Brothers, where they cut their hand or their arm or something, and then they go like that, and we're blood brothers now.
I haven't seen it. I was in it, but, you know.
Oh, well, there you go. Cool.
A little flex there.
Oh, well, there we go. So that is one thing. And it's also a similar thing as happens if you come across somebody who is like bleeding and you're also bleeding. Never in life do you come across a situation in which your back has a large incision in it and someone happens to vomit into that incision and then you sew it up without any medical attention.
Luke, really? What kind of life are you
living,
man?
I thought you were a paramedic.
That happened like three times this week already.
Last week, yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Go outside.
Sorry then.
Okay. Yeah, man, touch grass. Come on. So yeah, experiment four. Now, as we've just found out, he injected some vomit into the dog's jugular. Now, how would you feel if someone cut open your jugular and injected some vomit into it?
I wouldn't be too impressed.
No?
No.
No. Well, this dog...
filed a lawsuit.
No.
See you in court, sweaty.
And I quote, he immediately showed signs of great uneasiness.
I wonder what was it from the vomit? Specifically from the vomit.
From the cutting of the jugular, I would say.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. So he said he puked and purged violently, became convulsed, and expired in 10 minutes in great agony.
Well, I wonder.
Finally, some evidence that it is contagious.
Also, can I point out that it's been a long, long time on Saigon since we've had some good old fashioned killing an animal for no reason.
I did it on a live clip about 2 weeks ago.
Whoa! I do not remember that.
When it was about what? When it was about suffocating pigs and mice to death.
I forgot. Yeah. Luke did actually bring in a pig and a mouse and just choked them out.
I know. It took me ages to clean the stains off this desk.
Yeah, I really blacked that out. That's why I didn't remember.
Yeah.
Jeez, look, you're disgusting.
Neither can the listeners.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
At least the listeners didn't have to watch it. Okay,
yeah, true.
They only listened. The viewers, boy, they must be scarred.
Anyway, the point is, I've become completely dead to animal suffering in terms
of this podcast. Well, clearly, you just choked out a pig.
Yeah. No, I did not do that.
Do you even remember?
It's just not even shocking. At the start of this episode, at the start of this show, when we started SciGuys, time I was like, oh man, science sucks. Like, they're just hurting all these animals. Now I'm just like, yep, that happened, fine.
Also, yeah, like the first four episodes involved animal death in some way.
It's not my fault. It's just all the good stories involved
animals. It's literally your fault. You picked the stories.
This happened like two centuries before I was born. It's not my fault.
It's your fault, man. It's your fault.
Yeah. Sorry.
The scientist. Yeah. You have great guilt.
Yeah. You can't call me a scientist. I'm just a man that tells you stories that may or may not be true.
Okay.
No, they're usually true.
They're usually true.
Yeah, they're mostly true. So, experiment five.
God.
Now.
It's dead.
No, the same experiment was repeated with water and with precisely the same result. Oh, with a different dog. But he doesn't say this. With a different dog,
okay.
Obviously.
Like, yeah, I was going to ask.
Like, oh, the dog. We did the same experiment with the same dog and he ended up dead as well. Yeah.
I put the water in there. He wasn't responding.
I don't know what's worse. The idea of you doing five of these experiments to five different, like one of these experiments with five different dogs, or the idea of doing all five experiments to one dog?
I think five different... No, because one of them was with a cat.
Oh, well then, that yeah.
Yeah, so four sure. dogs... I think
that's
five.
Definitely five. The crux of my point.
I mean, two out of four dogs dying isn't bad.
It's pretty bad.
Not for this show.
50%.
I mean, 50% is pretty solid. That's a 50% survival rate.
Yeah, you're sure pretty good for glass half full kind of guy when it comes to dog death, aren't you, Corey?
I'm a dog half alive kind of guy, Luke. No, so...
Five yes. experiments. He's a stubborn guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's... Jam.
Yeah.
This is just with dogs thus far. So...
oh, no.
Wait.
He basically... The dog also died when he injected water, and he said, so obviously, you know, even water being injected into your veins will kill you. Well, I mean, obviously, that seems very obvious to us. I would have started with the water, and if it killed the dog, I would have been like, okay, well, then let's try the black vomit.
Yeah.
Right? Because if... Because it's probably, like, you know, fewer dogs to kill.
Yes.
Right?
Hang on a second. Water being injected into your veins kills you.
And, like, I mean, what was it?
Air being injected into your veins kills you, but water, that's not... I wouldn't class that as obvious.
Hold on.
Water injected into your veins in hospital.
An ounce injected into your jugular.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would have thought that the jugular slicing is the bit that killed you, not the water.
That's what I'm assuming. Yeah. Right? But I don't know. Again, there is a paragraph on each of these experiments.
Yeah.
They are not... Mm. These are not, like, sort of comprehensive... He's written more about the sort of pandemic that happened before it than he's written about the actual experiments that he did. So on the 4th day of October, 1802, I made an incision on my left arm.
Oh,
yeah.
Some self-experimentation. We'd like to see it.
Midway between the elbow and the wrist, so as to draw a few drops of blood into the incision, I introduced some fresh black vomit. A slight degree of inflammation ensued, which entirely subsided in 3 days, and the wound healed up very readily. So he started his self-experimentation.
Starting to sound like the Australian guy we talked about in episode one. Drank his own stomach ulcer thing.
Oh yeah, that was the guy that drank a beaker filled with I think the bacteria that causes
acids.
Yeah, well, it was the bacteria that causes stomach ulcers.
Yeah.
And then he showed that he got the condition, then he took some antibiotics, and I think it was fine. This actually reminded me of this. But this is so much worse. So much worse.
Oh dear.
Because I mean, obviously he's cut open his arm and put some vomit into it already. Experiment 7, 4 days after 4 days after the first experiment, I think so, that's probably like what, maybe the 11th of October, sort of start of October here. He got some fresh black vomit, and again, he always specifies that it's fresh.
Fresh. Popping down the market.
He made a considerable incision in his right arm and put in 5 drops of black vomit, then closed the wound and put a plaster over it and bandaged his arm and left it just for 2 days. And then there was no inflammation. No more inflammation had taken place there.
Was he now immune to it?
No. Cause, I mean,
I don't think it does anything.
So this is vomit.
But he said there was an infection in the first.
Oh, no, inflammation.
Oh, okay.
Not an infection, inflammation. It had gone red.
Right.
Bear in mind, if you cut open your arm and just sort of leave it to heal,
it might go red.
It's going to go red.
Yeah.
So what he's done here is he made a small cut, put some vomit into it, and then let it heal. And it got a little bit inflamed, as you do when you cut open your arm and put some vomit into it. Then he made a bigger cut and put some vomit into it and then dressed it appropriately. And then after 2 days, 2 days, he looked at it and he's like, oh, that's looking fine.
Right.
Right.
So that means that there isn't any of the yellow fever stuff. The vomiting is a symptom of yellow fever. There's no yellow fever, whether bacteria or virus, I'm not sure, virus.
Well, I mean,
in the stomach itself.
Yeah, so it's
in the blood.
Well, so it's a virus. So apparently, from this, it seems like you can't transfer it through vomit.
Right.
And that's pretty consistent from what I've seen. Usually, it's only, from what I've read, it's basically only blood to blood contact, but that can really only come about through a mosquito, really, or a blood transfusion.
But there's,
I guess,
blood in the vomit.
I mean, yeah, but it could be digested in the stomach, or it could essentially
be black.
The vomit itself is not, the vomit itself doesn't seem to be contagious.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Well, I mean, he's proved that by sewing himself up with some vomit in his arm. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd think that he'd proved it. So he goes on to experiment 8.
Sliced his own jugular, and then
the virus is introduced beneath the cuticle and takes after subsequent trials. So he knew that it was a virus, or a virus meant something different
maybe
back then. It's not super important to the story. He did number 6 and 7. So he did experiment 6 and 7, the little cuts that he did all over his body about 20 times.
What?
And he literally said
he bathed in vomit.
This guy, I feel like this guy just liked vomit. He had a vomit kink, right? Like, that's what's going on here. So he said number 6 and 7, experiments number 6 and 7 above 20 times on various parts of my body, and with precisely the same result, not only during the epidemic of 1802, but also of 1803. Experiment 9, he put 2 drops of fresh black vomit into his right eye.
It's right. Like when teenagers quit. Put vodka in their eyes.
Yeah, not good for your eye.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
That's the thing. Don't do it. It's very painful and bad for you, and you can go blind, and I don't even think you get that drunk.
No.
But, yeah, you get vodka. Because you've got blood vessels in your eyes. So the theory goes that you get really drunk pretty quick.
Oh, the idea of doing that, it's the same as a vodka tampon. The idea is to get...
Excuse me, what? I've never heard of a vodka tampon.
You put it up your bum.
I understand that it... What? But I've never heard that people do it.
They don't. You die.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you would die. The idea is that...
it's a suppository.
Or get really ill. The idea is that... With booze, you want to get it in. You want to get the alcohol into your bloodstream as quickly as possible.
Blood vessels there.
So yeah, you just put it into a place where it can get into the bloodstream quick.
Yeah, but it's still silly.
We need to do a second as a sequel to my pigs can breathe through their bums story. We do a story of you can get drunk through your bums.
Okay, Luke, you do a headstand, and we'll just get this bottle of wine and we'll bonk it in. Always use something with a flared base.
Yes. Not glass.
Bonk it in.
I mean, a glass bottle of wine will do fine, I think. Right.
I've got a video you need to watch.
I've seen it.
One guy, one jar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different. There's a wide jar. It's a thin bottleneck.
No, it wasn't flared.
Yeah.
That's his problem.
Yeah, that's the problem with that video. It wasn't it wasn't flared.
First mistake, it wasn't flared.
So you put two drops of black vomit in his right eye, and he said, and I quote, "It felt a little uneasy for about a minute, but produced no pain or inflammation. I have frequently had cold water to produce the same effect." So he put some vomit in his eye and he was like, ouch, this hurts. And then he was like,
no.
But perhaps it's not just the vomit that's making it hurt. I'll try some cold water. Did the same thing as a control. And he was like, yep, feels about the same as water. Again,
why would you not do the water first?
To be fair, it might be the left of a vomit in your eye.
Yeah.
Did you do the other eye as a control?
I'm going to be honest. If I was going to be pouring vomit into my eyes, I would choose to just do it in one over two.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd want to have one vomitless eye.
You know what? That's fair.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Experiment 10. And oh man, these really go on. And he does so many.
Experiment 10. Come on. You've proved it. You literally proved it. You're fine.
I'm sorry. I can't not go through this. So you put 3 ounces of recent black vomit this time into an iron...
Not fresh, but recent.
It's different from fresh.
Into an iron skillet. So a frying pan. And set on the fire that the fluid might evaporate, during which time I frequently held my head over it and inhaled the gas or steam without experiencing any unpleasant situation.
It's like when you want to unblock your pores, so you go over the boiling
a humidifier. Sink. Yeah. Number 11, a few days after this, the former experiment was made, I heated a small stove room to 100 degrees of Fahrenheit thermometer. Just say 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
100 degrees of Fahrenheit thermometer.
Did you have to reach a word count?
That's this was 60 his dissertation. Seconds of clock on my wrist.
This was all done on a typewriter as well.
Oh,
like
my
he's
God.
If he gets any of these things wrong, he's got to do it again. So
no Tipex in the 17th century.
No, this was the 19th century.
Oh, they probably had Tipex then.
Yeah, they made it by then. So he put 6 ounces of black vomit into a shallow earthen dish and placed on a sand bath on the top of the stove. It remained there until it was evaporated to the consistence of an extract. Basically, he boiled down the vomit till it was
like a syrup?
Thicker. Yeah, sort of syrupy sort of consistency. Or as syrupy as you could get with vomit.
Would you like caramel or a risen sick?
Can I have a black vomit frappuccino? Is that venti?
What's your name?
Stubbins.
Is that Stubbins Firth? Is that with one F or two Fs?
The Stubbins Firth.
I just pictured like a pin that is like a little coffee cup with Stubbins written on it. Like, but it's got fucking more.
Still got my dog, by the way? please bring him back.
What happened to the 4 dogs I asked you to look after for me? Well, 2 of them are okay.
They ran away. 2 of them ran away.
Your cat is perfectly fine too.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. So he boiled down the vomit. God. And he sat in the room basically for 2 hours and was breathing the air that was filled by the vapor. that was filled with like the vomit vapor. Yeah. 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 So he had a vomit sauna.
We've all been there.
Yeah, at the gym. And he said, during this time, I had a great pain in my head, some nausea, and perspired very freely. Towards the close of the experiment, I felt languid and fainty, attended with great oppression from my breast. All these symptoms went off after being some time in the fresh air, so that they evidently arose from the great heat of the room and not from the black vomit.
I was going to say, that happens to me in the sauna as
well. Yeah, right. Which I conceive had not the least effect in producing them. So basically, this guy, if you've not gathered thus yet, like thus far, this guy is doing a bunch of stuff and being like this vomit can't hurt me in any way. Yeah. I do like that he sat for 2 hours in a sauna, essentially, which is way too long.
Five minutes and I'm done.
Yeah, I start to feel a little bit lightheaded after about 5-10 minutes. Yeah. Too much. So he did all of that. Experiment 12. He took the stuff that he got from the last experiment, the sort of extract, and put it into pills, and then swallowed them all on the same day, and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm. My supplements.
Next, he's going to take his suppositories.
Oh, no.
No, I'm joking. And so in experiment 13, he did the same experiment, the last two experiments again. So he did the sauna and the pill eating again, multiple times. This guy hates himself. And had the exact same results. He took half an ounce of the black vomit immediately, and in his words, immediately after it was ejected from a patient, and diluting it with an ounce and a half of water, swallowed it.
Oh.
The taste was very slightly acid. As I felt no mental anxiety or uneasiness, I could attend particularly to my sensations. It neither produced nausea or pain. My pulse, which was beating 76 in a minute, moderately strong and full, was not altered either in force or frequency. In fine, no more effect was produced than if I had taken water alone. This guy...
The only thing he can do is, hello, can you vomit directly into this open wound I have? This is the only next step.
I mean, this is the thing, though. Like, at this point, we gotta go through all of the stuff that he's done thus far, right? He's cut himself...
Will he only be satisfied when he's dead?
This man has a damage.
Finally,
yeah.
I've achieved it.
So he's...
I've proved that it is infectious.
So he's fed dogs and cats vomit. He's cut open a dog and shoved some vomit into it. He's injected vomit into dog's veins. He's then cut himself open and put vomit in himself. He's breathed in vomit, sort of vomit fumes.
Yeah.
He sat in a vomit sauna
and
then made vomit pills
and then
swallowed
them, drank vomit
multiple times, and then immediately drank vomit. Like someone puked into a bucket, essentially. He poured some water into
delicious.
It.
Yum.
And just downed it. A new Sci Guys cocktail, I think.
Oh no.
This would make for a great montage.
If we ever open a Sci Guys themed bar.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Cocktail.
Yeah.
Black vomit. There we go.
No one would drink it.
No.
No one would drink it.
Don't worry, it's Kahlua.
It also comes in a little syringe as well, you know? If you have perhaps a dog around and you want to squeeze it into its jugular.
Dog-friendly bar.
Well, I do not think it's a dog-friendly bar if that's what we're doing.
No.
If you bring your dog in, we'll squeeze the vomit.
Ignore the knives.
So he felt fine. And I'll quote again. Having satisfied myself that the black vomit could not communicate the disease, I thought of desisting from any further experiments. But upon mature consideration, I thought it best to continue them. which I did.
Man's stubborn.
Which I did, repeating them a great number of times and varying them as much as possible, but with precisely the same results. I repeated them during two successive epidemics without the least variation occurring in their results. And the increased quantity... and increased the quantity I took internally from half an ounce to 2 ounces, drinking it at length without dilution. Now, had the black vomit been possessed of any active or deleterious property, it is probable, but how is it possible that I should never have the least effect produced? Essentially, what he's saying here is, I thought about it. I was like, maybe should I stop drinking vomit? Should I stop smelling vomit? Should I stop cutting myself open and putting vomit inside of me? Maybe I should do it. Then I thought again, and I was like, no, I'm going to do it way more.
I'm starting to believe this vomit kink thing.
Yeah.
And it's just right? Like, guys, I just have to keep drinking vomit, I guess.
Like, I feel like after doing it a couple times, you'd be like, oh, okay, maybe this vomit isn't. So he basically ended up drinking undiluted vomit. Just straight
shots of it.
Yeah.
As we mentioned that the dog really loved eating the vomit, and the cat didn't seem to mind eating the vomit, and he seems to be all for
he seems to love it.
Consuming the vomit. Have we done a control with non
yellow fever vomit to check if this vomit's particularly addictive.
Particularly tasty.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Maybe it's just the world's nicest vomit.
Maybe people do like the taste of vomit, and if you were to try someone else's vomit. Yeah, maybe if you were to try yellow fever vomit, it'd be really nice.
Exactly. Well, doesn't American chocolate taste like vomit? I got you there.
You got I was about to say that.
Was this man American?
Yeah.
So he's used to eating vomit.
No, that was...
He's probably used to Cadbury's. Yeah.
This was before. Maybe Stubbins Firth was the one that started Hershey's. You know?
Oh, exactly. Hershey's.
Yeah. He just loved eating vomit, and he thought, I need to mass produce this taste.
Yeah. The secret ingredient.
I should explain. So the reason we're saying this is because some American chocolates have a sort of chemical in them that is similar in taste to vomit.
Yes.
But it tastes good to Americans.
But it's only an American chocolate.
Yeah.
So
basically, yeah.
When people from outside America try it, they're like, yeah.
Yeah, it can taste a little vomity, but also it can taste really good. Yeah. Some bad things can taste nice, like blue cheese.
Yeah.
So
yeah, true. Yeah.
He then went on to do more experiments to see if it could be transmitted by blood, saliva, perspiration, bile, or urine. And he then did some more experiments. So he took blood from a patient in sort of first stage and put it into his... And I don't know how he managed to do this. He put it into his left leg. He put it under his... Like, literally, he put it into his bloodstream. And there was some inflammation in it. The wound healed up, and he repeated it, but he was perfectly fine. He also drank the patient's blood as well and didn't have any effects, which I'm not sure how we got away with that, you know, because as we know, I mean, like, it's transferred through the blood. So maybe it wasn't in
maybe
a...
Maybe it's because it's the stomach.
Well, no, but he injected it into his leg.
He put it under his skin, and it was like, maybe he got lucky, maybe he was immune to it already. Maybe the virus just wasn't in a fully infectious stage then. I'm not really sure, but he basically drank saliva as well. He injected himself with saliva essentially, and closed the wound, which then healed. He did the same with bile. He did the same with sweat, and he did the same with urine. And he specified with the urine that some degree of inflammation was produced, which soon subsided itself. And the part healed always after. So he got piss, sweat, blood, and spit. Oh, and bile, which comes out when you vomit as well. He put all of that, he just put it into his body. And he was like, oh, I'm good.
I have a weird respect for scientists who experiment on themselves.
I would much rather
He did this to get his medical degree, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
but he did this. He then wants to be a doctor where he will then help people be less ill as well. I think that's really cool.
If I have a doctor that comes in covered in cuts and I'm like, where did you get that? And he was like, I put vomit in my body. I don't know if I'd want him to look after me. I'm going to be like, if I was sitting on the operating table and he was like, I've got this very cool new treatment wherein I cut you open and put vomit in your body. Like, I just feel
I'd
like...
I'd much rather him say I put it in my body than to have my doctor come in and go, oh yeah, I've put vomit in other people's body. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose at this time it would have been black myself. People, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Better him than anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, I did think that I was waiting for this story to take a racist turn.
That's where I thought it was going.
No, surprisingly little racism. I mean, I don't know, but Stubbins could have easily been a racist himself, but I won't mar the man with that because I don't know. All I know is he was a man with a vomit kink. That's the one thing.
Yeah.
That's the one thing we know.
I'm going on record to say that that is the case.
What's he going
to
do?
Don't kink shame.
And also, no, hold on. Right. One, even if he was alive, he chose to drink. He said to himself, I've sufficiently proven that the vomit does not transmit the disease, but I'm gonna do more just to prove it more anyway.
Yeah.
The man wanted to drink vomit.
I wish he was here to explain himself.
Same.
Do you have a vomit kink?
There's not often on the show where I've been like, oh man, I'm sad that scientist is dead because we don't get to talk to them. Not Einstein. Not any of the others. Not Marie Curie. No, it's Stubbins Firth that I don't want to talk to. He then sort of continued from, I think that was sort of the end of the experiments, but he continued this sort of paper going on to talk more about the disease and all of these different things. And that is essentially the story. The man that cut open a dog and a cat, cut open a dog to put some vomit inside of them, fed some vomit to a cat, fed some vomit to a dog, and then decided to feed some vomit to himself.
And then self-mutilated.
Yeah, just a little bit
with some vomit involved.
And he's not really the only person that comes up when you start looking for people sort of studying yellow fever. In fact, Stubbins Firth is almost entirely sort of lost to history. There's not many good sources on Stubbins. I am just very lucky that I found this first-hand source from the, yeah. like in the Welcome collection. I do really. Sorry, this is too funny. I do really like Stockman's Firth, and I really like this story, and that is the end of it. There
well,
you go.
That was a roller coaster.
That was so horrible. Thank you for.
I'm
it.
Put off my dinner. But yeah, it was a very good story.
Really? I've made some fresh, I've got some fresh vomit sitting in the kitchen for you.
Well, I've been recording for an hour and a half. It won't be too fresh anymore.
Oh no, I've had someone wheeled in and vomited out as we've been talking.
Oh, you'll drop them a text.
I prefer it recent, which is like from the mouth.
Oh, recent. Well, they're still in there. They've probably got a good few minutes left of life. You can probably
okay, cool.
run and get some vomit.
You mean before their dissolution?
Yes, before.
before they've expired.
Jeez Louise. Okay, so it's now time for the quick fire
what
quiz.
What the hell are you going to ask us now?
I'm just trying to... Go on. Dun, 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 dun. Black vomit edition. Apparently.
And so it's the quick fire quiz. We all know the rules of the quick fire quiz. I'll ask one question between the two of you. The first person to answer with the correct... The first person to buzz in with the correct answer wins. I've got to finish asking the question before you can answer. So, Jamp, what is your buzzer?
Oh no.
Okay. I'm so sorry. I know people hate that.
Yum yum.
It's stubborn and the vomit.
Quick, I'm about to expire.
Yum yum.
So my question for you today. It's a little bit less of a question and more of a direction. Spell Firth.
Yum yum.
Luke, I think you got that.
F-F-I-R-T-H.
Yes, well yeah. done.
I remembered the FF and I was like, what's the rest of it?
I have a friend with the last name Firth, so that was nice and easy.
Really?
Yeah.
With two Fs?
Colin?
No, it's not with two Fs. Wait. Colin Firth.
No. I know Colin.
Yeah, good pals. Yeah. So that is the story for this week. Thank you.
Thank you for that. You're scarred forever.
Honestly, I think that finally getting to the end of this has really ruined me. Just so many experiments with this man and his vomit. I'm glad that he enjoyed that. And I hope everyone listening enjoyed. Before we go, we would like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producers Ashley Muller and Finn TZ. And also, thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCory everywhere.
You can follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutforth everywhere.
And goodbye.
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 League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.